Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, and we're back here excited. I'm twice as awake as Kelsey is. So I'm making up for your tiredness.
Oh, my gosh, you are.
Yeah, you know what? I slept 10 hours, believe it or not. I never sleep that many. Often I don't get more than 4 or 5.
You do seem particularly chipper today.
Right?
Yeah.
I went to bed at 10:30, got up at 8.
Yeah.
So I got almost 10 hours of sleep. Yeah, and I'm awake.
Get it.
And plus, we have very exciting guests, and I'm really stoked about them.
I am too.
I know. And we didn't give them a great introduction yesterday, but they're going to... we'll give you another one. That's true. I just got caught.
I know. We'll make up for it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to straighten it out once we put them on the air in a few minutes.
Yes.
So, Kelsey, you worked late or what? What happened?
I did. You know, it's kind of crazy. I'm working for this company called Remy Martin. They make Cognac.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys are Cognac drinkers, but it's kind of like a hosting thing, and they, you know, called me in and asked me to work this event, and, very ambitiously, I said, yes! At the time, you know, it's kind of like when you're hungry and you get this, you know, stack of 24 pancakes, and you're like, I got this. I can eat them all.
Right.
And then after about like 6 of them, you're like, oh my God.
So you realized you bit more than you could chew.
Yes and no. I'm gonna survive. I'm one of those people that is kind of always on go. You know that,
right?
And so
yeah.
You know, I thrive off of the excitement and like the hustle and everything. So I love it. And the best part about this job is we get to kind of do some sampling. So
time
goes a little quicker.
I'm sure it does. Oh my God!
How about some for the staff over here?
Yeah, right.
But not until after, of course. But yeah. Still, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I had a blast last night, and I get to do it again tonight. So.
Good, there you go.
And I mean, it ends at 11, so I'm not really like working nights. It's not,
right.
You know, I'm being a baby about it, I guess. But it's just like when I work days too, then it kind of gets a little long. But
yeah, well, do you sometimes get take a nap during the day?
Well, you know, today I do, and it's a big surprise because I wasn't supposed to. You know, I do that telenovela dubbing, right? And
I
do it probably every other afternoon here lately because my character, Yelly, Shelly in English, is becoming much more active. She has like a love interest, and I know it's like, it's really dramatic. It's a fun story. I'm actually into the show.
Yeah. Well, you have to be.
I'm the English soap opera character.
And you have to get into character. It's not just reading off
I know.
Script, right?
It's so funny. I'm getting all these like friend requests and everything from South Africa. Like,
oh, really?
Watch
Whoa.
The show.
Yeah, right?
But yeah, and so my talent manager texted me and was like, hey, you're not recording today. So I was like secretly kind of happy about it because I get the afternoon off at least, and I get to like go home and sleep for a little bit after this.
There you go. Okay, yeah. So you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I can't wait to get to our guests, but I just wanted to bring up the results of the primaries last night. And so for those of you who haven't been following, Trump's been dominating. Let me quickly tell you, in Mississippi, Trump won. In Michigan, Trump won. In Idaho, Cruz, and by a lot. Hawaii, Trump won again. So that's on the Republican side. On the Democratic side, they only had 2 elections. In Mississippi, Clinton took with 82%. And then in Michigan, Sanders and Clinton almost split it in half, but Sanders took at 49%. So now the way the picture looks for the Republicans is Trump has 461 delegates.
Mm-hmm.
Cruz has 360, so that's 100 less. And then Rubio has about half of that, so that's 150. So he's out of the race completely. But Cruz is pretty close to Trump. I mean, he still has a chance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see the totals that they have. On the on the Democratic side, Clinton already has 1,200 delegates, and Sanders has 572. So
it's looking like Clinton on the Democratic side.
Yeah, it really does.
Sure.
Yeah. So, so those are the results, and that's what's going on. And then one more thing. One thing they don't talk a lot about is all the stabbings and the shootings that are going on in Israel every day. It's like a new rebellion now where people are not part of Hamas or anything, but just private citizens, Palestinians. They go out with knives and they just knife people.
What?
And so, yeah, and it's been going on almost every day. So
I didn't
now,
know that.
You didn't know that, right?
No.
Yeah, why is that? And they, no, it's only when the Palestinians are victims. But let me just, I'm not going to get into that now. Maybe we'll get to it with our guests if they have a differing opinion. Otherwise, we'll just...
Hey, sounds like you
stole it. Yeah, right. the point is that last night an American tourist was stabbed to death. So then Joe Biden, I guess, is in Israel, so he condemned that, and he condemned the Palestinian authorities for not condemning it.
I mean, how bizarre. They just run up to people and stab them, unprovoked?
Yeah. Every day. Can you imagine walking on the street? And it's not like L.A. I mean, people there walk on the streets all the time, public transportation, things like that, and it's almost every day. And that's become very scary to live there. Because don't know who your enemy is anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, I just wanted to bring that up. We'll keep up the election results because our guests may want to talk and go there. So let me introduce you to our guests. We have a couple of hosts from why did I lose your page here? What's going on here? Hold on just a second. All right. I got to remember.
He has to look at our page.
Exactly. You
That's
see,
pretty
because,
scary.
Exactly. You see, I told you before the show we were talking about aging and getting old. And one of the things that go is memory. Yeah. So I want to make sure. Yeah. And today my mouth is going faster than my mind for some reason. So there you go. We have the hosts of the Writer's Block, Jim Christina, who is one of my favorites here. And another favorite of mine is Bobby Bell. Welcome to the show, folks.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to be here.
I love you, Bobby. But Jim and I connect on a bromance kind of level.
That's you know? Scary. You yeah. Know? Really think about it.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's fun. But thank you both for joining us this morning.
It's our pleasure.
A lot of fun, of course. And it's a long overdue, I think, right?
I think so, probably.
You guys have been on the station how long now?
Almost a year. A year in May.
Wow.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. And you guys still have a lot to talk about.
We do.
Which is amazing. You know, we do have people here that have been here for 7-8 years, and they still have new things to talk about.
Wow.
You know,
oh
so it's gosh. Amazing. You know, you got to stay fresh. You got to stay up to date and stuff. I imagine you guys, well, you have a show about writers and reading and all that. You guys obviously read a lot.
Well, we have to. But,
yes. Well, you don't have to. I'm sure.
Keep up to date with our guests.
And we don't always understand what we're reading.
I know.
That's why we like to talk to the authors about it.
It's
clarify the thesaurus and big words and,
Yeah.
The thesaurus is my friend.
Really? Yeah. Huh? Yeah. No, but I would imagine when you read a lot, I know for me, when I read a lot, it really expands your vocabulary, your use of the grammar, of usage of the language,
Sure.
Because you get to be involved with the words and how they're put together. So for me, it's like, I can read anything briefly and misspellings or mistakes always jump out at me, Isn't that something, though?
Yeah, it does.
Because
to me
your
too.
Mind is used to reading a certain type of a flow of the language,
Yeah.
And suddenly it doesn't flow. And so what are some of the things you like to read, Bobby?
Oh, goodness.
Did you read before the show? Did
yes.
you like to read?
Yes, I've always been a reader. Life sends you all different kinds of ways, and at different times of my life, I found that I didn't have a lot of time for reading.
Right.
For many years, I was associated with the Autry Museum,
mm-hmm.
and I would read a lot in preparation for upcoming exhibitions, upcoming educational programming, for the types of events that we would do there for the public,
mm-hmm.
Preparation, as I say, for exhibits. I was reading all the time, mostly nonfiction,
right,
and mostly connecting to the history of the American West in reading in the last 15 years, let's say.
Right. So you become an expert on the American West now.
I know a tiny bit about a lot of things. Mm. I don't know a lot about any one thing.
Just okay. Enough to be
well,
dangerous.
That's good. You got the overview. Yeah.
And this show, we began, Jim, this was his dream, so mm-hmm. I'll let him chat a little bit about that. But we started with many of our guests being connected to the West, because that's where we both had those first connections. But we didn't really want the show to be only about Western writers. Mm-hmm. So we definitely knew that we wanted to be very inclusive of even bloggers and, mm-hmm. and literary agents and the writers' world.
Songwriters.
You know, right. The writers' world.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Now we're reading, you know, we're reading just all kinds of things because
interesting, right? So,
you know, very little nonfiction. I think it's been mostly fiction,
fiction stuff.
In all different genres.
Right.
All different genres.
And if you noticed, I mean, I usually prefer nonfiction. I mean, on my table right now, there are 5 nonfiction and 1 new fiction that I just got.
Mm-hmm.
But so I read like 5-6 books at the time, but a little bit each day because I mm-hmm. don't really have a lot of time like you and most people, you know. So, but you try to take so much because I'm like, I can't wait for this new book until I finish the current book. I got to know what it's about. I got to get a little bit of the taste, you know. And what happens also when a book, when you're hot for it, that's when you should start reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll be hot about a book in the store. I wait a week to read it, and then it's not like what I felt about it
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So you like fiction, nonfiction, both. What do you like?
I like both.
You like both.
I like both. I like fiction. I like mysteries, suspense. Authors, particularly John Sanford, Michael. What's his name? Michael. The guy that writes Bosch, Harry Bosch.
I don't know. I don't.
Michael.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
If you're listening, Bookie, what is it?
Yeah, you forgot his name.
And she is listening to
there them. You go. We were talking about memory, you see?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I told you in the green room, Bobby and I have, like, it's 3 of you and 1 of you. So, as far as life experience goes, just the memory sucks. But I like true crime stuff. I like a lot of nonfiction stuff. I like anything that tells me a good story that I know existed before.
Yeah,
I like
that's
to
cool
dig
too,
into
right?
it and find out exactly what happened. Mm. Like I just finished reading a book written by Jeff McCarthy, who's going to be on our show. I'm not quite sure, but it's that book about Al Capone's brother, Two Gun Hart. They used to call him. He was a prohibition agent.
Oh, that is
really
in Nebraska.
Wow.
It's a very interesting book, and it's just started. You can't stop reading it.
Really,
it's one of those, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I love that stuff.
And
me
of
too.
Course, you know, Jim is an author himself, so you do a lot of research.
I do a lot of research.
Reading,
yeah,
yeah.
You know,
so
well,
used to
you
that,
know.
Jim. Is that like your main? The main thing you do, I mean, as far as career and things
no,
like that?
No, I never give up your day job when you're a writer. Just don't do it.
Really,
do you do?
Right.
No.
Unless you're James Patterson or something,
unless
right?
you're James Patterson. And,
right.
And then you don't do most of your own writing anyway,
exactly.
So it doesn't really
matter.
Exactly,
you just sit there. But you have a business.
I do. We do a sheet metal bright trim and molding for muscle cars of the 60s and 70s.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Vice president, general manager.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow. Because, you know, my father used to be in sheet metal, but we were doing other things. It wasn't cars.
Right.
He was doing, like, all kinds of lighting fixtures and cabinets and computer enclosures and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just mentioned sheet metal. I'm like, wow, I haven't said the word sheet metal in like 30 years.
I haven't said it in all of about 6 minutes, right?
Yeah, right? Wow. So you're involved in cars too, obviously.
Not anymore.
No?
I just run the company. I don't get involved in the cars at all. We do, also we do complete replacement body shells for Mustangs, Camaros, Chevelles, and all those.
Wow.
Challenger, stuff
a
like that.
A complete body?
Body shell.
Body shell.
Right.
Wow.
Really? So you like reshape it with the spoilers?
If you have a 1972 Challenger,
right.
And you need to replace the body,
okay.
You can buy a new body.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you retain the powertrain and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's like practically
right.
a new car.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you have.
Yeah.
Finished.
Oh,
exactly.
My gosh.
But the point is, you can't buy a new one of those.
Right. Not anymore.
So,
right.
Right. So they get you. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty
so we do
cool.
that.
Very
but
nice.
Writing is my absolute passion.
Yeah. Huh?
I love to write, and I love our show.
Yeah.
I love our show, only because we get to interview some very fascinating people.
Mm.
And we get to interview some people who are
not as
in
fascinating.
Our studio.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great. Every writer's got his own shtick.
Right.
You know, and some are more vibrant than others. And,
right.
You know, but we have them all. And like this week, we have Ken LaSalle and we have Candace Wade.
Nice.
And I know Candace's going to Bogart about half of Ken's time, so.
Yeah. But the nice thing is also, yeah. Do you find that now after a year on the air, guests come to you now wanting to
be absolutely.
On your show?
We are.
Right? You don't have to look for them anymore.
We are booked up through October.
Wow.
That is nice.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people.
That started very quickly. The show was, I think our first show was in the middle of May or May 21st or something last year. And even last year, as a brand new show, we were booked to the end of the year by like August.
I think probably July. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the phenomenal things about this programming here at LA Talk Radio and probably other platforms across the country and the world now is this opportunity that you give to speak people of all different interests and all different careers and passions.
Exactly.
And that there's more platforms and opportunities for sharing that information than we've probably ever had before.
That's true. And reach so many people that we never could.
So many people.
And remember, we're not stars either. You know? This is the opportunity for our neighbors, for our friends to say what they feel passionate about.
Yes. And it's really a fabulous platform for us to be able to bring all these authors to give them an opportunity to, that's what I see about it, to give them an opportunity to share their story that wouldn't be heard necessarily otherwise.
Right, exactly. Because on traditional radio, they wouldn't give them like a whole hour or something,
5 minutes.
And a lot of commercials. I had a great show, enjoyed a great show on commercial radio that. But we did. We had in an hour show there were probably 33 minutes worth of commercials.
Oh my God! Wow,
I was on that show a number of times.
Hard to have much conversation really.
Yeah,
you know. But that's the way of that world, and that's okay. You learn kind of how to use that format. It's not a negative. It's just it's so wonderful to have so much time without always. Having to go to commercial break. This is really a great format.
I mean, we have our commercials, but we try to do them at the top of the show.
Sure.
You know, and then they're done.
Yeah.
And if we feel the show lagging, we'll throw a little music in there halfway through.
You make your show. I like the way you run your show. You know, I mean, you're totally in control of it. You know, you enjoy it. And you know what you're doing, you know? I mean, and that's great. You know, I mean, we get people that come here and they're totally intimidated by the setup and everything. And in 5-10 minutes, we make them feel comfortable and they can run their show, you know?
That's great.
And, but you guys, we love having you here. I want you to know. And fortunately, I mean, I feel just so blessed that we seem to attract only great people here.
Yeah.
You know, we've got 80 shows, and I've become friends, semi-friends, pseudo-friends, whatever you want to call it, with everybody, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you're a pretty personable guy, so.
What's that?
You're a personable guy, so it's easy to.
Thank you. Thanks.
But you make it very easy for us. You make it easy for us to bring in our guests and make them feel warm and welcome. And that's the whole idea behind our show. Is that we want to give them a platform, but we want to make it comfortable for them to talk.
Yes, because they are guests, you want to treat them as though they were coming to your house.
And when they walk in the studio, they do not know what they're going to get into.
Exactly.
So we tell them up front, look, we're not going to ambush you.
Right.
We're going to make this fun for you.
Yeah.
And writers love to talk about themselves, so normally we don't have to ask a lot of They just kind of go off.
Tell us about, believe me, we get
different guests every day. Everybody loves to talk about themselves.
Like our guest last week, we learned his whole life in 50 minutes.
Cool.
But you have to realize that in this world of social media, too, the selfie and, you know, all of these things have to do with the individual being able to share who and what they are. From here's what I'm eating, you know, right now to they can tell a lot of detail about themselves through all of the different formats. I think we're we as a society, we're doing that more and more and more.
Yeah,
that the
yeah.
individual
revealing more
is
about
revealing
ourselves, right?
More and more about ourselves.
Because we all want to become big brands, you know? Mm-hmm. We want to become like celebrities.
Oh, wait a minute. Is Kim Kardashian in the room?
When you said it, I had to do it.
I know, I know.
I just thought that my Snapchat family has not heard from me today.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to start getting irritable.
They're going to get irritable?
The listeners don't know what we're talking about. So right as I was talking about people wanting to build a brand and become celebrities, Kelsey's taking a picture of herself in the studio. Yeah. So that's why it was funny, folks. Remember, they can't see what we're seeing. So
nah, we're all in here naked. So
but it's funny, yeah. So Kelsey feels she has to report to her Snapchat friend. So that's fine. I mean, that's cool. That's really cool.
I already got Insta covered this morning earlier, so they're happy with me.
My God.
She just posts a picture. She gets 200 likes. Yeah, I mean, have you ever seen anything like that,
no.
You know, in 2 minutes? So there you go. But anyway, for those of you just joining us, we're talking to the co-hosts of, to the hosts of the Writer's Block, Jim Christina and Bobby Bell. You can catch their show every Thursday at 8 right here on LA Talk Radio Channel 2. See, I remember 80 shows and I remember each one of them, when they are, who they are, who the hosts are.
And you have them right in front of you.
Exactly.
You?
That's why I have to have a reminder.
I usually come with, you know, my laptop and all kinds of.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't even have any papers with me today or anything.
I come with a notebook and a piece of paper shoved in it. That's it.
Right. I know, and I come with nothing, just a screen here.
All right, there you go.
But you see, I have to do it 5 days a week. We don't really have time to prepare that much.
So I
book a guest. I get, like, you know, thousands of emails. I see, like, one or two keywords that interest me, you know, like, I don't know, naked women or something, or sex. Okay, and the guy's booked, you know? It doesn't matter who it is.
So if you're listening, pay attention.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to get on this show.
If you send an email in today, call Sam at LA Talk
Radio. Just gave you some very important information.
That's how you get through to my heart.
We're going to come in here and take over your show, so you can just go have a coffee break. Bobby and I.
Exactly, yeah. That's the whole point, is to get the room lively, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have four people, that's amazing. You get a full house, and it's really a lot of fun, you know.
Well, we have four, and we have Bobby's husband over there holding.
No, absolutely, and I was not going to forget about him. I reserved for him the entire last 5 minutes to introduce himself and everything, because there's no way he's going to sit in the corner and be ignored. You know?
I mean, do you know what you're going to hear?
What's that? Really? Okay, so that's why he prefers to sit in the corner.
Sound of silence.
Bobby, just introduce your husband to us.
Sure.
What is his name?
Oh, this is the love of my life. This is Jim Bell.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Jim and I have been together a very long time.
Wow.
What is this year, 35? Yeah, 33. 82, we were married in 82. So what's
She's
that?
Like, it feels like
Yeah, 34. That's 84.
34.
34 years.
And We have huge dreams together.
That's awesome. Yeah, do you guys have offspring?
We have children and grandchildren through Jim's first family.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great.
So, yes.
So you have a nice, happy family.
We have a happy family. We're blessed on so many ways. But this is a remarkable man. And
right. Wow. Can you imagine after 35 years still feeling so strongly about the person you're with?
Oh, I love step-parents.
Yeah.
I know. It's cool. No, plus being able to be with someone for so long. You know, I mean, the thing is that you have to be lucky, I think, to happen to meet someone like that that you can really last a long time with,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise, you know, and people are like, well, what's the big deal about staying together for a long time? You know, I mean, but you know, life is short. Maybe we should have a few partners and stuff. But I think it depends on your journey. It's like, mm-hmm. and what you're looking for in your life, right? And if you're looking for a partner and you feel you're going to be stronger when you're next to them, then why not,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, and I think you also need to always be encouraging each other's dreams and interests.
That's true.
Even if it's not an interest you necessarily have, you will actually begin to be interested in it if you will allow yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows them to pursue or grow in whatever, you know, whatever that is that's of interest. And then you're constantly having new things to talk about or places to go or wherever that interest is taking taking them.
Right.
That brings a constant new energy, I think, into the relationship. And then, of course, if they just worship you and put you on a pedestal and do everything for you,
yeah,
you
that's got to be okay, too.
That's my first requirement.
I mean, that Jim has always just treated me like the most important part
that's
of
amazing.
His life.
You got to have mutual respect, right?
And you know,
he is blushing.
He is, yeah. But that's amazing.
That's my first requirement, too. Right?
What, that he blushes?
Yeah. No, that he worships the queen.
Well,
okay.
You know, the truth is that Jim Bell is one of the world's nicest men.
He seems to
be.
Very, but he doesn't
very
say
quiet,
a lot. Yeah.
But he's very nice. Yeah. That's maybe because he doesn't talk a lot.
Right. Well, but a lot goes on behind the scenes in his head.
He does. And I have to tell you, it's the hardest working guy right here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's
my
a hard
friends
worker.
Think I'm so spoiled because I get breakfast in bed and fresh squeezed orange juice every morning.
Yeah. Can you believe this? I mean, what is that about?
It's close.
Yeah. I mean, Jim, let me tell you this. If you looked like Kelsey, you would get that too.
Yeah, probably.
Every day, it doesn't matter. If you were Kelsey, you would be treated the same way.
Yeah.
You see, we were born with a sausage. It doesn't work
right.
The same.
No, I'm talking about the one on your face now, right?
Oh, okay.
Now I'm blushing.
Now Kelsey and Bobby are both blushing.
We will never qualify for that. But so we will never know what it's like. But
yes,
what I'm saying,
because it's not about what's on the outside, folks.
Right.
It is truly about the soul inside, because we're all going to age.
Right.
That is
we're
so true.
All,
that's
we're
like spoken
all,
like a true BSer.
You know, you have to look
that's
past.
How she feels,
you
what?
Have to. You have to look past all of that. You don't know what life is going to throw you.
Yeah.
You just don't know what life is going to throw you. So
that's true. And you want to be strong and not alone, I think.
Right.
Jim, how about you? Are you married?
Yeah. In fact, you know my wife. She's been in here.
That's true.
She's
introducing you to the audience, so it has to
my
seem
wife,
like I don't
my
know.
My wife's name is Jerry. She's just a terrific, terrific gal. She's got she's got a lot on the ball. She took our because we were inundated with emails and people wanted to be on the show.
Right.
And so we tasked her with doing all of our booking for us, and she does all of the conversations between them, and she gets it all set up, and 2 weeks before they're on the air, she gives us all the information.
Wow, you see, I mean, they're treated like stars. I mean, I do my own thing, my own booking, and they have someone doing the bookings
but
for them.
But we both have things that we do on the side,
right.
too, so we don't have time.
So do I, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. You're out looking for women. That's got to be a full-time job.
It is
right
a full-time
around back
job.
To that topic again.
Let me tell you this. If I was looking for women actively, I would have one right now.
Okay. Well,
okay?
She'd probably be sitting in the studio.
Right, exactly. But I don't.
Smacking you upside your head.
I do not. I haven't worked hard enough, but what I am going to do, and might as well give them a plug because these were guests here on Monday. They're going to hold what they call the love debate, and they invite about a couple hundred people, and they debate the question, why are we all still single? And they bring in, so tomorrow they're going to have Dr. Drew and a couple of other dating experts. And then, like when I went last time, they had sort of a dating game. So, and they picked me as the guy, as the bachelor, which was cool, right? Right. I told the story the other day, but I wanted to tell them. So, I'm sitting with my back to the audience, so I can't see the girls, right? And I'm calling them girls loosely. But what I'm saying is, because look, you know, I'm 55 years old, but the thing is that. I'll keep mentioning this until I'm blue in the face.
I know, right?
I know. It's all relative, Jim. That's the whole point, you know? When I'm your age, I'll look back at a 55, I'll say, oh, man, I wish I was 55. You know? So I don't know, man. It's always like that.
I look back and say, geez, I wish I was 62.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, I want that. You know, I want all those benefits that come finally. Like, there, you know.
It's funny you say that because my mom, we joke that every year her year that it all goes gets later and later.
Of course.
She's like, oh, girls, just wait. 42, it's all gone.
Really?
Well, you know, they
it is
tell
still
you.
Like that.
And then later she's like, oh, 47, I really started going downhill.
They say 60 is the new 50 or, you know, that bullshit. 60 is 60. It doesn't matter. You know, your brain goes. You know.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
you
that's
get up
true.
And you start farting. I mean, you know, it's just like everything goes away.
And we all are going to go through it. You know what? If we get to go through it, we're lucky because
that's
it
true.
Means we lived a long life.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And plus the wisdom. I mean, there's nothing like it. You know, when you sit there and you sit in a conversation and you're like, these people are all full of shit. You know, I know what the truth is. And because I've been around the block a couple times, you know,
yeah.
I felt it on my own flesh. I've seen other people dealing with things like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that because the older and older I get, I'm like, oh my God, my parents were right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I often wonder today now, you know, why did I ever argue about nap time?
Yeah, right.
I would love to have it. Why did I really want to move out of the house?
Question number one, right here,
you know,
too.
Why?
I'm
you
like,
know,
can I come back?
Yeah. I remember as I began to get down to graduating from college, I having a calendar and like every day crossing off, you know, another day closer to graduation. And I wonder now, after working all these years and all, and I've loved everything that I've done, but why was I so anxious to get out of the world of academia? That
yeah.
was really a wonderful place to be.
Yeah.
You know, and when I met my husband all those years ago, he thought that he was a lot older than I was, and he would make comments about his age. And then when I hit his age a long time ago, I would say, you know, you, I'm the age that you were then, and it's not an old age.
Yeah, right? Right?
On him it is, so, on me, not so much.
I know.
So
I know, I'm trying to convince.
The thing is very interesting as we go through the course of it.
Yeah.
Very
see, I'm trying to convince young women that it's not a big difference, but they don't believe me. So
well,
they don't agree. No, I'm kidding.
It's not,
I never got to a point where anybody said, I'm not going to be with you because of the age difference.
Yeah, not unless
you know,
you're like
it's, the problem is all in my head, not in their head. You know?
Yeah, because you will get to a point where it really doesn't have any bearing on it anymore.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's
yeah.
very odd
that's
when you
so
think
true.
When you think the person. Oh, so let's see. When he was 20, I was you know 8. It's
right.
very odd, but
right.
you know if you're looking at big differences. But once you're adults and you're working,
it doesn't even matter.
The difference
yeah.
doesn't
know,
matter
like,
that much, right?
No, then
yeah.
it doesn't really.
You
yeah.
don't even notice it.
Yeah, if you
yeah.
have, if you're.
No, I mean, and the new generations are pretty smart and pretty mature. You know, like I mean, if I had to look. You know, I chose as my co-host someone in her 20s, and we are able to communicate on the same level, you know, on the same intellectual level. And I consider myself pretty smart, you know. So she has to be able to communicate, you know, to think. I mean, you know, it's like with Kelsey, you wonder, you know, she's so busy and everything, and still she knows what's going on in the news. She knows what's going on in the elections and everything. And that's refreshing to me, you know. So it's like, so these days I could get along with anybody, really.
Sure.
And, you know, and find a common ground because people are really mature.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I'm with my kids, my daughter's 24, my son's 21. When I talk to them, we talk like adults, you know? I mean, it's not like I don't look at them as my kids.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're at that point in
well,
your
yeah,
life.
Well, yeah, not anymore because
you know?
They're not.
Right. Right.
Now they're both
well,
peers.
But they're always my kids.
Well,
you
sure,
know?
But when you deal with them, they're
right. But you could say,
totally
well, you know
though.
What? You see the lack of experience for sure and the stubbornness and everything. But you know, I mean, in your late 20s and then into your 30s, you just realize that, hey, you know, things are not the way I thought they were
right.
when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, things are different. I got to take care of myself. I got to be responsible. And yeah, I mean, people that can carry their own weight. Yeah, I can communicate with them just fine.
Sure.
You know?
Well, I have a theory. My theory was that men, specifically, because women, this doesn't hold true to. Women are extremely smart all the way through their freaking lives, and I don't know how they do it, but they do. But men don't grow up, and they don't mature until like 45.
You think?
Yeah.
Really?
By then, you wake up one morning and you go, okay, I know what they meant by that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, and that's when you first have to go get your glasses and, you know.
Yeah. So
45 was so long ago, do you?
Things
I'm not sure I have a memory of
45. 45 was, yes, it was a while back.
Right. Now, think from Kelsey's perspective. She's thinking 45.
I know.
You
she's
know how
45.
Old that must
that's
look
like 20
to
years from now.
I know.
I know.
That
I'm
must
like,
look
oh
so old
God.
To you, my God.
And you think, holy crap, 20 years, man. I can do that on my head.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't realize it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I never thought that I'd like make it past 25 when I was like 18. I'm like, at this rate, man, well, I'm going to be like in the nursing home when I'm 30.
You're a big partier.
Ah, yeah.
Well,
you know, they used to say back in the 60s, don't trust anybody over 30.
Yeah, they still say that, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know that. You know, yeah. I don't even know who they were.
Yeah,
they're,
I know, exactly.
They're probably gone.
I never
exactly.
knew who
yeah,
they were.
Gone now.
Timothy
yeah.
Leary, I think, and probably yeah. a few others.
Yeah.
But really, I mean,
never even heard of before.
But you know, when you're older, it's easier to talk about age and everything because it's like something you've already been through.
Yeah.
But I can imagine for someone in their 20s, and she's sitting here with us and going, my God, you know, it's like so long from now. But you know what? It's got to make you feel great because you still have like a whole life ahead of you, you know?
Yeah.
You're,
so fast.
As far as time, you're richer than we are, you know? Yeah. And that's what I heard somebody say once, you know?
Actually, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we may have more money because we've had more time to earn it.
Right.
Although, I don't know. Kelsey seems to be doing just fine. But
telenovela, huh? One of my favorite shows, incidentally.
Oh my God, Piel Salvaje. No, it's because I'm crazy. I'm a hustler.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Well,
you
gotta be out
you
here.
See, that's what I admire in her is the drive. Maybe because my daughter doesn't have it, and I see that in her, and I'm thinking, you know, I mean, you can like really. Not just survive, but thrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in your mid-20s.
And, you know, it's, like, really funny because I think my parents just thought I was, like, sitting by the pool, drinking Mai Tais all day out here for, like, three right. years. And then one time I accidentally put my address on, like, a W-9 for what my home address.
Right. And W-9, and they got it?
And they were getting all the treatment. And I was like, what is this for? And he would, like, send me a picture of everyone.
Whoa.
And I'm like, see? Yeah. Like, I'm yeah. not just... You
no,
know.
But wait a minute. Let me, Kelsey. You told me once how much you get paid for a national ad, right?
Uh-huh.
Are you open to saying that on the air?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Tell them how much you make.
So basically, how it works is, you know, it's a union, right? And so it's Class A, I believe. So it's like network broadcast. So a couple years, one year ago, like I was, what was one of them I was in? Like a Chevy. One and I mean
commercial
yeah right. for like Chevy Colorado and it just aired one 13-week cycle. No, it aired two, I think. So you know, there's a sliding scale, so you know, the first time it airs you just get SAG rate, which unless you are a star, you know, but right. just for regular people you just get SAG rate, which is like, you know, $700 or something. But then every time it airs you get like residuals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I made somewhere around like $60,000 or $70,000 from it.
$70,000 for one day's work.
For a 30-second ad.
For a 30-second ad. And but
it doesn't come around very often.
No, it doesn't, huh? But hey, that would pay for a whole year's of rent and more.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, $70,000, people would feel they're rich. That's one day. Okay, that's the price of being born with a sausage, you see? That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Hey, we're missing out. Sausages on set with me.
We're missing.
but that is also the dream. I mean, that is also that dream of opportunity.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And guys get that too, right? I mean, it's not just, yeah.
No, and it can kind of be a curse actually in a way, because then you're constantly clawing to get back there.
Oh, right? Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And it's like nothing quite measures up to Super Bowl 2015, you know? And so it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I mean, that's still like my highest paying job today,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so anyways, it's great, but it, you know, there is like kind of a flip side to it as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean,
well, as long
there's
as you
always
stuff here.
Yeah. There's always two sides to everything, but enjoy it while you can, because you know you were given a gift, you know, and you're talented, you're funny, you're beautiful, obviously, you know, and that's what you get hired for many times, and it's take advantage of it. I mean, you know, you get a gift, take advantage of it, you know, and people don't understand. Everybody has a gift.
Sure.
Everybody has a gift. They just have to find it.
Sure.
That's so true.
Sure. And take it from somebody who knows. The looks will fade.
Yes, but the animation in her voice.
I know. She's
and
great.
The dynamics, oh my God.
The she's just like, she's just like this.
You can't see that. We're on, you know, we're on radio.
Radio
but
person.
The dynamics and the charisma and the genuineness that will not. Hopefully that will not.
See, that will always keep you beautiful. That will,
that, and it's interesting you say that about her voice, because obviously she was hired for her voice in that telenovela. What she does is she does the, what do you do there exactly?
So it's a Venezuelan soap opera, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's in Spanish. So basically it's what's called dubbing. And so, you know, they run the line in Spanish that my character says, and then I repeat the line in English, like, simultaneously.
Right.
And then they match it up so that, you know, it can air in English-speaking countries or whatever. But, yeah, it's really funny you mentioned that, because I've always had a passion for, like, singing and, you know, voice-oriented things. Mm-hmm. And the other day I realized that, like, the whole day I had three different jobs where I was talking into a microphone. Like,
really?
This, the Piel Salvaje, and then I voiced over like a Disney commercial or something. So it was crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, you see. And so you wanted to get into communications and broadcasting. You
I
have
did.
To use your
yeah.
voice.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Obviously, you see, so you have a lot of platforms to express yourself and whatever, you know.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So, Jim, we only have about a few minutes left. You brought us a couple things to read.
I did.
Tell us about them. I mean, you know what I like is, I looked at the thin one, and that is totally what I like, because I started writing a blog when they just came out, when people said blog, and just about like rants and things like that, you know,
things
that you see.
That's exactly and what you, that is, and, a bunch
and
of
you,
rants.
Yeah, and I love that. And you put it in a little book. And so let's talk a little bit about the rants. What's like one of the major ones in your book?
Well, one of the major ones in my book is like drivers.
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 And especially in L.A., I'm sure you have an opinion about
any
that.
Any of the freeway. Pick a freeway.
Any freeway.
Any freeway. Or actually a main thoroughfare.
Right.
Now, one of my biggest problems is, what do I call them? I have a name for
them. Nazis.
No, that's car Nazis.
That's car Nazis.
Yeah, that's a...
okay.
Oh, I have old people drivers, too. The ones that drive up next to their steering wheel.
Oh, my God.
And
my
do
God.
The speed limit in the fast lane and look straight ahead.
Yeah. But you know what? The thing is that you think, you know, at a certain age, they should take away their license. But... because they're dangerous to themselves, too.
Right.
They're too slow.
Right.
They react too slowly.
They don't follow the flow of traffic. Okay, right. I have one called ignorant a-holes.
Okay.
And it's these are the people that go to the very end of a lane that is closing and then force you to slow down to let them in.
Okay, but you know what? Okay, finish that.
Okay. I would have let them in a half mile back if they'd have been smart about it, but not now. Forget about it. Let's face it, folks. They give you ample warning to move over. Why in the world wait until you absolutely have to move over unless they're just trying to anger everyone else, and then they can meet the guys that just left the reloading zone.
Wow. You see? So, but that's interesting because that's one perspective. Let me give you another one.
Sure.
Okay. No, because it's funny you brought it up. And you should read this book. I'm quoting this book called Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's everything, especially in L.A., you will relate to it. It's a nonfiction book, everything you want to know about traffic and drivers. And what he says is, he says that it shows that late mergers are actually helping the traffic. Because think what happens. They utilize the lane until they can't anymore. If you start slowing the lane down to get it, to merge into the lane, it would take you longer and the freeway would slow more. So... And so you got to read about that. But I always felt the way you do too. But I got to tell you, it's not. I'm not doing this to anger anybody.
Right.
I'm doing this to obviously not be stuck behind the traffic.
I'm going to be helping the flow of traffic, and they are known as ignorant a-holes. Now the other
okay,
one,
I get it.
The other one I brought is a novel that I wrote a while back, and actually it's two parts of a novel. It's one part is called The Dark Angel, and the other part is The Return of the Dark Angel.
Okay.
And this is a demon that that gets into everybody's skin, and he's really a bad guy.
Wow!
Oh.
And it's quite a read. Bobby's read.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. I mean, can you without spoiling
the first one?
Really?
Yeah. She actually wrote the foreword for The Dark Angel, and our friend that was a guest on our show, J.R. Saunders, wrote the foreword for The Return.
Nice.
So they're both in here.
And when did you write them, Jim?
Dark Angel, I think, in 2012, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds right.
The return, the second half of the book, I finished in, December of 2015.
Yeah. So it's pretty published. New.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can people get it?
They can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
Just look me up on Amazon or look up called The Return under novels, and it shows up. And then there's a whole bunch of books I've got up there. So
that's Jim Christina, of course.
And he has his own website as well where you can
JimChristina.net.
Mm-hmm.
How come we don't have it on your website? You got to send it to me so
I
we can
know.
Put it
well,
on there.
Well, it's easy. It's jimchristina.net.
Well, I'm not going to do the website right now. Email me something.
I will. And then okay. And then we have, of course, my email address is jimchristina@yahoo.com. So.
Okay, cool. And Bobby, how can people find out more about
well,
you?
Well, my husband and I have a Western business. It's an online retail site and a small store in Old Town New Hall. And it's very simple. The name is Out West, but to find us online is SCV. That stands for the Santa Clarita Valley, scvoutwest.com. Uh-huh. And we have about 15,000 products. We ship all over the world, from cowboy boots to hats to really cool apparel by major brands like Rock Mount Ranchwear, which is worn by musicians all around the world.
Yeah. See, Kelsey would find stuff for her.
Yeah,
she's from Texas.
I know.
Yes.
Texas is
and saddles,
one,
Kelsey.
Texas is the number
saddles.
One state probably that
really?
We ship to.
I'm
wow.
sure. I then, I was a... Ariat, you know, uh-huh. ran Ariat.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I did their national ads from like 06 to 08 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, Dan Post. We carry Dan Post on our website and Durango boots. And then we also co-host a concert series that we've been doing since 2009. And they are the fourth Thursday of every month at a great intimate theater in Old Town New Hall. This is a concert series of mostly Western music, but also we've had bluegrass, Americana, and roots. And this month, our performer's name is Mike Beck, and he is a nationally and internationally known horse trainer, as well as... a much acclaimed songwriter and musician, and that's on March 24th. So whenever I'm not on the writer's block, it's because my husband Jim and I are co-hosting what's called the SCV TV presents the Out West Concert
right.
Series, and they're filmed okay. by our local media right. SCV, Santa Clarita right. Valley TV.
So you guys present this? You mean he actually says something?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. I never heard Jim say a
word. No,
and that's the night that we have that loser, Russ Avison, on here.
No, who's wonderful.
Russ does a great job with us. I just love Russ.
Yes, and that's the guest co-host they have on the show called The Writer's Block. We were joined by Jimchristina and Bobby Bell, and Bobby's husband, Jim, of course. And you know what? So what's the website now?
SCVOutWest.com.
Okay.
And if you're coming out to the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, April 23rd and 24th, we also run a venue for the city called the Buckaroo Bookshop. And many of our
that's
authors
a lot of stuff to remember.
That we've had on the show.
Well, we'll be mentioning it on the show.
Yeah, we'll be mentioning that on the show.
Okay,
but,
cool.
And you can find information about that on our website as well.
That's there, actually so. Where we hijacked all of our first authors.
And
to
that's
come
how
on the
we and that's how we first met.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great.
2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 2010 is when we first met. Yeah. I booked him in as an author for that event.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. Wow, very cool. Well, you guys are a lot of fun. And obviously, see, Kelsey, when I said they're going to be older, I meant they're going to be funner.
Yeah.
Right?
And wiser.
Then, well, I don't know about the wiser.
Exactly. Than most guests. I got to admit, I had one of the most fun I've had in a long time having you guys here on the show.
I know.
Okay.
Thank
you. And you're welcome back anytime. I mean, I feel we only did like half a show.
Right?
There's
it
so much
by.
More to talk about. I mean, we were going to get into history and everything.
Yeah.
We didn't even touch on
no,
that.
No, we didn't.
Nope.
We can talk politics. You know what? You guys will be regulars. You know, maybe once every couple of weeks or something. Once a month, maybe.
Once a month, sure.
Yeah. You know, maybe every day. What the hell?
I don't want to make that drive every day.
Well, we do because it's important for us.
I would slit my throat if I had to come down to 405.
We really enjoy LA Talk Radio.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that, you know, because
we
love you guys. You know, I love having you.
Every chance we get.
Awesome. And you can tell why my job is really the best, because I get to meet amazing people here. And that's why the station will never go away. You know, it's just going to continue to grow.
Oh, I just see new shows all the time.
Thank you for getting us up on iTunes and Stitcher.
Oh.
Yes, that was your
you
buddy
guys
Ronan.
Are
yeah, Ronan.
Yes,
to me, they're sort of the same. I do get them confused.
Yeah, right.
I'm not here enough.
Oh.
We should go.
Well, now you'll see us in the same room together.
Yeah.
You'll be able to tell the difference.
Oh, gosh.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Jim, Christina, Bobby Bell, Jim Bell, and, of course, Kelsey.
Yeah.
As always, your eyes are just about to close. So
nap go time. Home. Nap
yeah,
time.
Get yourself a nap so you can earn more money tomorrow. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.